Good morning, everyone. I hope you've had an awesome week and that God has been speaking to you and has been dealing with you, because He surely has been speaking to me and dealing with me. So, I thank God for His faithfulness and His love for us. So this morning we are ending our series on Habits of a Healthy Heart. And this is week 5 of this series, and it seemed to have just flew by so fast. But this is the final one, which is the habit of steadfastness. It is the habit of the healthy heart. Don't quit too early. Very ironic. But being faithful in the little things is a big thing. If you've ever found yourself being faithful in the small things and you're asking yourself, why is it this small thing? But know this, that being faithful in the little things, it is a very big thing. And I'm always reminded by the parable of the talents, when it comes to being faithful with what God has given us or have called us to or wants us to steward. That you have these three guys. The one guy, he multiplies what God gives him incredibly. The second guy, not so much, but the third guy, he took what God gave him in this parable and he hid it away because he didn't want to lose it. And God dealt shrewdly into the parable. The master deals shrewdly with the one who went and buried what was given. So there is something about being faithful in the things that God has called us to, the things that God has given us, and being faithful in the little things. It is a very big thing. Because we are told in Scripture that if we have faith of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. I like making food in the house. I am that guy. It's not a brag. It's just I enjoy making food. And if I make food, I am as creative as the herbs and the spices allow me to be. And my taste, of course. And when I cook, sometimes I like to cook with mustard seeds. It just adds some more flavor. So in my house, we have 2 little tubs of mustard seeds, and they are so small. I wanted to bring them, but I obviously forgot, so forgive me. But a mustard seed is incredibly small. If I would have had to, I can actually say to you, look, I have a mustard seed here. You won't be able to see it even if I had one. So there you go. That's how small a mustard seed is. But if we go to Matthew 17, verse 20, I'll just read for us here. He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to today, and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. That sounds like just such an awesome verse. If we can have just as little faith as small as a mustard seed. The significant thing about a mustard seed, it is so small. It begins so small. The moment you plant it, and it grows over time, it becomes one of the biggest trees. And it even gives shade to the birds. And that is just a picture of steadfast faithfulness, continuing to do the thing that God called you to do. Being faithful in the little things, it is a big thing. That such a small mustard seed can become this big tree and give shadow to the birds. Small faithful actions equal significant change. If we apply this to our lives, and then I'll go back to that passage that we just read. If you think about yourself that when you want to lose some weight or you want to get into shape for that summer body, or you just want to be faithful with your health, and you begin gymming today, you're not going to see results in a week. You're not going to see results in a month. You may be going to start seeing some results in 3 months, 6 months, 1 year. But it calls you to show up consistently day in, day out. And then maybe 3 months in, you realize there's no change much, because you still eat as if you were not wanting to care for your body. And now you begin to be faithful with your diet and you're seeing progress. It is being faithful in the small things becomes a big thing. If we think about friendships, God introduces you to a friend and you just feel there's a godly connection and this is someone that I can be friends with. That friendship is not just going to grow on its own. It calls for consistently texting, phone call, arranging visits or bribes or whatever you want to do to help that friendship grow. It is repeatedly, consistently doing something intentionally to help that friendship grow. If you are bad in debt, you're not just going to get out of debt. It's going to call on you to be faithful every month end to say, this is the mountain of debt I had. How am I going to slay this giant? Through prayer, number one, so that God can change your habits. And number two, by paying down that debt. And as you pay that debt, maybe there's four accounts that you have. The moment you pay off the one account, you have more money to pay off the third and the fourth and the fifth until you have nothing left. But it's going to call on you to be faithful in the small things. And maybe 1 year from now, 2 years from now, maybe 3 years from now, you'll find yourself debt-free if you're going to be faithful in the small things, because it is a big thing. You can either be here in 3 years' time being debt-free or still in debt. But it's going to call on you to be faithful in small things because it is a big thing. And if we think of getting an education, it seems like such a big thing to do. When God called on me to go continue my degree, it felt like such a mountain in front of me. Even where God is calling me moving from here, it seems like such a big mountain. But I've realized to face it one subject at a time, one course at a time, one thing at a time. And looking back now, man, how God has been good. Because being faithful in the little things, it is a very big thing. You can either be here from 4 years from now with a degree or an education or not. That is being faithful in the small things. It is a big thing. It's like those little faithful decisions that you make over time makes a tremendous impact on us and those around us. I mean, if you were to have a bath and you use just a little bit of that bubble bath, it goes a long way. If you were going to put the whole jug into a little bit of water, there's going to be a lot of bubbles. You're going to have to do a lot of cleaning. But in Luke 16 verse 10, Jesus is saying, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. And I want to go back and read this whole parable to us, because that's just the conclusion of what is happening there. From Luke 16 verse 1 we read, he also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? So turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, so take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, so take your bill and write down 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteousness, of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. And then we see this dishonest manager was just being dishonest. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? Being faithful in the small things is a big thing. But how do we continue to being faithful in the small things for it to be a big thing? How do we continue in steadfastness? Well, we have to have some grit. G-R-I-T. It's an acronym. Yeah, look at me. It's an acronym for words to follow. You have to have some grit. Say to someone next to you, you need to have some grit. You need to have some grit. If ever you find yourself discouraged, just tell yourself, I need some grit. And it stands for grace. It stands for resilience. It stands for integrity. And it stands for teachability. Being faithful in the small things is a big thing. Grace. I can speak a lot about grace. But one thing that is certain is you are going to make mistakes. You are not going to feel worthy. Others around you are going to make mistakes. Yet God says His grace is sufficient. In 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, I'll give some context to that as well. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, Paul is writing what Jesus told him. It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, for the sake of Christ then I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul is writing a very deep truth. Because before Paul is writing this, he is speaking about his thorn in the flesh. And he said, three times I asked the Lord to remove this from me. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. For the sake of Christ then I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Many times people might say, Paul is speaking about some sin that he had. He's not speaking about that. Paul is saying that he has all the reason to boast. Because he has the best Jewish education that he could find. He's a Roman citizen. He had privilege in Rome that other Jews not necessarily had. And he was eloquent. And he was doing so much for the kingdom of God that he had reason that he could boast. Although he didn't boast. Because he cannot boast in himself. He can only boast in what God has done for him. And everything he's speaking about is the hardships that he faced. If you can imagine yourself, you are doing, being faithful and steadfast in the small things, which is a big thing. Paul preaching the gospel, going town to town to town, preaching the gospel. He was not faced with financial reward. He was not faced with good lodging. They did not receive him open arms. He was persecuted. In one city, when he came to preach the gospel, they stoned him and they left him for dead. And he picked himself up and he just went to the next town preaching the gospel. But you see, the false preachers at that time in the background, when they were coming to preach the falseness of the gospel, saying that, yes, we've heard about Jesus, but you still have to 1, 2, 3 and obey this, this, this. They were receiving financial reward. They were having a good life. And Paul was faced with persecution. And in that persecution, the words of Jesus says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he's saying, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So when you do make mistakes, you can have all the grace, because God loves you and he has a plan for you. And in your weakness, his power. Rests on you. That is the most encouraging thing that I can think of. I mean, I've made so many mistakes. One day I was so in love with my wife. I was in Kimberley. And I ordered some McDonald's. I was there for work. So I just landed the plane. I went to the client. Now I'm going back to my guest house. So I'm buying some McDonald's. Well, not my guest house, just the guest house where I stayed. And I went to buy some McDonald's. And I drove, I paid for my McDonald's. I ordered the McDonald's and I paid for McDonald's and I drove. 3 blocks away, I realized, wait a minute, something is missing. I never went to window 3 that gives you your food. I just paid and left. I was so wanting to speak to my wife. I drove back. And the guys, they just laughed at me. They just laughed at me and I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry. And I got my food and I left. Now that's an innocent mistake. I've made way worse mistakes, because we are going to fail. We are going to make mistakes. And when we do, you have to have some grace for yourself. That when you go to the feet of your Savior, that's where everything is made right. That's where you can cry out your heart and say, God, I am so sorry, I made a mistake. And what he will do is he will pick you up. It says here, therefore I will boast all the more gladly my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And here we are, we hold this mirror so that people can see what we want them to see. And we don't acknowledge our weaknesses. We pretend that we don't have weaknesses. We pretend that everything is A-okay all the time. But be gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wrestle with that. Wrestle with that. Then you have to have some resilience. 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 Galatians 6 verse 9. says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. How many times have we all probably seen that picture or that image of this guy digging for diamonds or gold, and you see him just walking away and maybe just one or two more hits and it would have been there. Do not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Do not give up. Do not give up. Resilience. Let us not become weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. It is sometimes so difficult doing the right thing, following the right direction. It's so easy to take shortcuts and take matters in our own hands and plan our own things. But when we are steadfast in the things of God, if we are faithful in the little things, it is a big thing. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Do not give up in obeying God. Do not give up in following God. Do not give up in doing things God's way. And when you fall, just get back up, shake it off, and continue. Continue. Now that has been GR of the grit. And the I is integrity. Of integrity, I'm not going to say much, but I'm going to say this. If you have integrity, nothing else matters. And if you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. If you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. What is integrity? It is what you do when no one is watching. It is who you are when the doors are closed. That is integrity. Because it's easy to do the right thing when people are watching. But when the door are closed and you're alone, or no one is seeing, no one's going to know, I can just do this one thing. If you have integrity, nothing else matters. And if you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. Being faithful in the little things is a big thing. And then the T of grit. Then we can say grit is teachability. Being teachable. Proverbs 9:9 in the NLT says, instruct the wise and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous and they will learn even more. And the thing is it would be foolish of me to say that we've been married for almost 7 years. We've been married for almost 7 years. It would be foolish of me to say that I cannot learn anything about marriage from someone who has been married for 1 year or 6 months. Because then I'm not being teachable. The moment I say that I cannot learn from someone younger than me, less experienced than me, then something is wrong with me. Because God could have taught them something that I still have to learn. They could have read something, watched something that I've never even thought of reading or watching. But now because they are younger and less experienced, I close the door and I'm saying, no, sorry. Because I am also wise. No, instruct the wise and they will even be wiser. So teach the righteous and they will learn even more. It is a matter of the heart. Am I going to be teachable? Am I going to open my heart? Am I going to hear what someone has to say and then go and test it to see, is it true? Is it plausible? Is it good? Or am I just going to shut the door and say, because this person is inexperienced or knows less than me, does not have a degree in theology, has not done ministry for so many years, I'm not going to listen to them. That would be so foolish of me to do. So foolish of me to do. Because in 1 Corinthians it says that knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. And that is not a good place to be, for knowledge to puff up. Speaking of 1 Corinthians, 10 verse 12 says, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. That is in the NLT. If we read it in the ESV, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12, it says, therefore let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. No temptation has overtaken you that it is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. If you think you are standing strong, if you think that you don't have to learn anything, if you think you have arrived, you've not arrived. Be careful not to fall. There's one guy, Africa Mlope, just loved his sermon on my culture or something. He was saying that these guys, they think they've arrived because they wear snakeskin on their shoes and then they think they've arrived. Or they wear this fancy belt. It is a dead cow. Whatever the brand is, it's a dead cow. And now because it has this logo on it, it's like, oh, I've arrived. Or driving with that car that has keyless entry. My bike is also keyless entry. If I don't have a key, I'm not going to enter. It's as easy as that. But because all of these things, we think we've arrived, and now we can do things because We have branded stuff. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. I mean, we all go through different phases in life, different seasons. God might be dealing with someone with something differently than he's dealing with me. But there is one thing that we all want to hear the day when we die. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Have we served God or have we served man? Have we served God or have we served ourselves? Have we served the idea of God or have we served God? And there is so much in this that we can say. Because if to be steadfast, you need some grit. You need grace. You will make mistakes. You need resilience because you are going to fall and you'll need to get back up and you need to continue. You need to have some integrity. Doing the right thing even when no one is watching or even going to notice, and you have to be teachable in the things of God. Because at the end of this life, we will stand before God and hope to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And then there's one verse in the Bible that will always struck the fear of God into me is, "But God, we've driven out demons in your name." And I will say to you, "I don't know you." Man, that just sends the fear of God into me. Because why? We can get busy with the things of God that we neglect the God of the things. And this morning I need to repent before you all and say, I have become busy with the things of God that I've neglected the God of the things. That I've held on to people who are God's people. It's not my people. This church is not my church, it's not my ministry, it's God's church, it's God's ministry. And God has been dealing with me this week and speaking to me on so many things, and I just have to repent before you all that I'm sorry where I've held on to you. You are God's. You belong to God. And if God is speaking to you about stuff, just be obedient to Him. God will build His church. Not my idea of ministry or this or that. And I need to get back to what God has been saying. Preach what God has been saying. Doing what God has been doing. And it's scary because I don't know what it will look like. But in this moment, I'm preaching not to you, not to myself. I'm preaching because I want to be faithful in what God has called me to do. And it's difficult owning up. It's difficult saying, I've had some areas in my life that God needed to have to come and check. And I'm sorry. You are God's people. You're not my people. And I can just serve. Be faithful in the small things because it is a big thing. I might not see the impact. I might never see the impact. Doesn't matter. Because the moment you wish to be somebody, you're already in the wrong path. Because you are not what you do. Many times you will ask people, who are you? No, I am this and this. And then they will say they are a parent or they are employed in this role and I'm this and this. No, that's what you do. Who are you? You're a child of God. That's who you are. Everything else is just what you do. And maybe you need to go and ask yourself, who am I? Because it's not the soccer team you represent. It's not the sport team. It's not the thing you do. It's who are you? I'm not a pastor. I'm a child of God. I'm not an IT some. I'm a child of God. I'm not a husband. I'm a child of God. I'm not a father. I'm a child of God. May that be formed in you. Because being steadfast, yes, we can be steadfast in our careers. We can be steadfast in our finances. We can be steadfast in the way we look. We can be steadfast in so many things. We can even be steadfast in the wrong things. But that's not what we need to be steadfast in. We need to be steadfast in serving and obeying God and doing what He wants us to do. That's what we need to be steadfastful in. And hopefully, by God's grace, He will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. So be encouraged. Be steadfast. Serve the Lord. Have grace. Be resilient. Have integrity. And be teachable. Be teachable. Let us pray. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that all who we are is in your hands. Maybe there's something that you need to give to God this morning. Maybe you've been doing things your way and God is calling you to give it to Him so that you can begin to do it His way. He's been speaking to me. And Father, I'm giving this church to you. It's your church. I'm praying, Father, that you will lead every person here this morning to follow you, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.